Roll over Beethoven.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. In the last 24 hours, we've had two high-ranking executives roll on their bosses. First, former Enron chief accountant Richard Causey pled guilty to criminal charges. He may testify against Enron's former CEOs next month in exchange for a 7-year prison term. Then, a former Quest communications exec reached his own deal with prosecutors. Mark Weisberg pled guilty to one count of wire fraud. His old boss, Joseph Nocio, faces 42 charges of insider trading. All those guys could probably use a few aspirin about now. Now might be the time to stock up if you have a Medical Flex account. Rachel Dornhelm explains.
Medical Flex accounts are increasingly common. They let employees take money out of their paychecks tax-free to spend on health needs and childcare. The catch is, workers set aside money at the start of the year, and they forfeit anything not spent at year's end. Traditionally, business for opticians and dentists is slow in December, but George Faget, owner of Specs Eyeglass Stores, says in recent years, his December business has been up 30% over other months.
At the end of the year, just to make sure that they use up their money, they go and they'll buy prescription glasses and prescription sunglasses or contact lenses.
And this year, the IRS says companies can opt to give employees an extra 2.5 months to spend down the money. But careful, weight loss meds, cosmetics, and toiletries don't count. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
Time now for our bankrupt airline segment. Yesterday, Delta's pilots agreed to slash their pay another 14% to help the ailing carrier. It's the union's second double-digit salary cut in the past year. Meanwhile, Washington, D.C.-based Independence Air told its employees the end is near. That bankrupt airline says it'll shut down January 7th if its parent company can't find a buyer or major investors. Wait, there's one more. Continental isn't bankrupt, but it's struggling big time. The airline couldn't agree with ExpressJet on pricing, so it's looking for a new regional partner for some commuter routes. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports.
Continental is taking back 69 of its 274 planes from ExpressJet. The company wants a new commuter carrier that can fly its planes for less money. Former Continental exec Clark Gonstad says, like many big airlines, Continental's trying to take over the reins from its regional partner.
We have the legacy carriers in bankruptcy. The regional jet carrier is doing very well. And so as a result, the legacy carriers are trying to reclaim some of the profits and profitability that has been transferred to the regional carriers over the past 7 or 8 years.
Earlier this month, bankrupt Northwest announced it was looking for a better commuter deal. ExpressJet begins losing the planes in 2007, but a spokeswoman says the company is still hopeful it can reach a deal with Continental. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Word of a big deal in the hotel world today. Hilton. The U.S. business is offering close to $6 billion to buy the British unit. The American side split off more than 40 years ago. Consumer confidence is up and Wall Street responded. The Dow closed up 18 points to 10,796. The S&P 500 added a point to 1258. The NASDAQ gained 2 points to 2228. Oil prices are close to 60 today. This is Marketplace. This month marks the 25th anniversary of the Superfund, a pool of money used to clean up polluted sites. It came from taxes on the petroleum and chemical industries. But as Alex Cohen reports, it looks like this silver anniversary has some tarnish.
A decade ago, Congress stopped taxing companies responsible for chemical releases, and in 2003, the Superfund Trust Fund ran dry. For the past 2 years, Congress has authorized $1.2 billion annually from general tax revenues to finance Superfund projects. Alex Fittis of the U.S. Public Interest Research Group says that money's not enough, and dozens of sites still need cleanup.
And the longer that these sites sit uncleaned, the more expensive they become to clean and the greater risk they pose to public health and the environment.
Fittis says Congress will eventually have to decide whether to tax polluters once again or place the financial burden on taxpayers. I'm Alex Cohen for Marketplace.
From American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Network Solutions, helping individuals and businesses of all sizes grow on the web with hosting, design, domains, and online marketing solutions. NetworkSolutions.com. And by Reuters, reporting from around the world, every day, every hour, every second. Reuters helps you stay in the know now. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. For months, it was just dinner table conversation, the coming shift in the housing market. Now we're finally getting some good, hard evidence that we've passed the tipping point heading into 2006. I asked personal finance expert Chris Farrell to run some figures for us.
Well, the numbers are astonishing. Just give you one. Home sales volume was $695 billion in 1995, a decade ago. It was $2.1 trillion in 2005. But here's the one that really grabbed my attention. It's from my colleague Mike Mendel, chief economist at Business Week magazine. And he says that in the third quarter of 2005, Americans spent 6.1% of gross domestic product on building new homes or renovating existing ones, and that's a bigger share of the economic pie than tech got at the height of the boom in the 1990s.
So do those numbers from the third quarter indicate to you a peak in the housing market or that it's just going to keep going?
These numbers are not sustainable. So the no-brainer forecast for 2006 is that the housing market will slow down. The debate is whether the rate of appreciation slows down, or whether we see stagnation, or whether we actually see prices decline. But as far as the housing market itself goes, the good times are in the past.
So does this shift just basically indicate a shift from a seller's market to a buyer's market, or is it more complicated than that?
No, I think it's essentially a shift. However, when you pick the bottom, when it turns into a buyer's market, and you're thinking about it, and you saved, and you want to buy, and all of a sudden you realize, hey, you know, I can get a deal here, I can get a deal there, maybe I'll wait a little while longer. Why should I rush right now? It might be cheaper 6 months from now. And that's how a market can feed on itself. And that's why I think the forecast that what we're really just talking about is a slowdown in price appreciations.
And since this is probably going to be the big economic story of 2006, is this the stuff of recession or no?
I don't think it signals recession because I don't see a big plunge in prices. If the forecasts that are out there that say prices are going to go down by 30%, hey, written stone, we got ourselves a recession. I don't see that happening. What's going to happen is it's going to be a buyer's market. Prices are going to come down a little bit. A lot of people are going to pull their homes off the market. Our homes are no longer going to be ATM machines. We're not going to be borrowing. But it's not going to be enough to take the economy into recession. That's going to take something else, higher price of oil or whatever. But the housing market is not going to be the boost that has been to the economy for the past several years.
Chris Farrell is the economics editor for our weekend program, Marketplace Money. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
Looks like it might be a record harvest for the California.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.